Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as I was approaching this today, peace, healing, and love. The song we just heard dealt with healing comes from God's love. And I think it's so important to think of it that way. Most of you know that I belong to an organization called the Society of the Holy Trinity. Society of the Holy Trinity is a group of Lutheran pastors that we take the acronyms after our church bodies, we throw them out. There's no LCMC, there's no LCMS, there's no ELCA. There's none of the other 36 different Lutheran church bodies that are in that. We throw it out. We're Lutheran pastors, period. We have a huge convention for the group at the Catholic Seminary in Chicago, Illinois, every year. And I'm going to tell you a story about that here in a second. But we also meet here in Florida at a Catholic retreat center called the San Pedro Center. When I was in Texas, we went to a Catholic retreat center up in the hill country. Do you notice there's a common thread there? Why? Because the Roman Catholics say, all right, you want to meet here? They cut our bill in half each time. Can you believe that? You know, and the thing is, that is so supportive. Now, one of the things we do, we don't do it in Florida, but we did in Texas. On the first afternoon, we had a two-hour block of time for prayer. And this retreat center is up in the hill country. It looks like you're in Colorado, okay, with the tall pines and the pine needles and, you know, making a bed on. It's beautiful. And so the weather was fantastic. Went outside and sat in a on a bench. And I said, all right, I got 2 hours of prayer. So I prayed for all the people in my church. I prayed for all the people I know. And it took about a half hour. It's hard to pray for 2 hours, isn't it? And so the dean came up to me, and the dean is like the president of the chapter. And he says, how'd you do? Well, I said, I prayed for a half hour. And he said, all right, what'd you do for the other hour and a half? I said, I sat out there and I started just enjoying God's creation. You know what he said to me? You're learning. Now stop and think about that. You're learning. What did, you know, I just read you a couple things that some of the early church fathers said about this. Okay, of course now I lost. Here we go. Especially, now listen to this again. If with childlike trust we let Christ pray within us. Think about that for a second. We aren't praying. Who's praying in us? Christ. When we have faith, is it our faith or is it Christ's faith in us? That's something we don't think of that way very often, is it? You know, the word Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua, means God saves. Emmanuel. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. Anybody remember what Emmanuel means? God with us. All right, so when we go through holy baptism, what happens? It's an exorcism. The bad spirits are thrown out, and who enters us? The Holy Spirit. God with us. So, when we're talking about it's your love that heals, it's the love of God that is in us that heals. Different way of looking at it, isn't it? Remember, as I've talked about the cross before, we have, and I'm going to say this a lot, and I'll say it again, we receive from God. That's what the one means in the middle. Everything comes into us. The arrows come from God to us, right? They don't come from us to God, but from God to us. Then what has to happen? It has to go out of us unto others. So if we stop forgiveness, are we forgiven? No. And stop and think about stuff like that. If we are to be good Christians, we've got to let the love of Christ flow through us. Now, today we're going to do a laying on of hands and healing service. Is it me that's doing the healing? No. I'm a conduit, and that word conduit comes right out of Luther's writings. I'm a conduit for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow from the cross through me into you. I have nothing to do with it. Now, remember in here, oh geez, what was it, 5 years ago now, when I was told I had leukemia and I got sent to the Moffitt Cancer Center. What did we do? We did a laying on of hands here, didn't we? Okay, I sat there, all of you came over, put your hands on me and prayed. What happened? You know the story. It disappeared. I went up to Dr. Sokol, of all things, he's Czech, and Sokol means falcon in Czech. And he and I would laugh about that and things. He did some work on me. He's the one that did that bone graft where you got to lay down and he takes a knife and gets in there and digs some of your spine out. That hurt a little bit. But he did it. It came up. And then they did this blood test, which I guess is $10,000. I had no cancer. No leukemia. So he did another bone graft. Not only once, I had to go through it twice. And he said, I've never seen this. Your leukemia is gone. He said, what did you do? I said, well, we had a laying on of hands at church. And he said, God healed you. This is coming from a cancer doctor at Moffitt. God healed you. So, was it all of you that healed me? No, but you were that conduit for the Holy Spirit that came into me, right? All right, my eyes. Remember when I was taking care of Valerie? And the pressure in my right eye was 80, and I didn't really understand. I didn't quit because she had the bed bugs, and I was taking care of that. She had the idea that I was her power attorney, so that meant that I was her caregiver. So not only was I doing this job, I was spending about 35 hours a week taking care of Valerie. So something had to give. I didn't get that check. Woke up one morning, and my glasses were covered with moisture from the inside. So I went and made appointment at Quigley Eye Center because I talked to David Colburn. David said Dr. Overdenko is who my ophthalmologist is. Go see him. And I did. And he walked in and he says, your pressure is 85. And I said, is that bad? He said, it's supposed to be in single digits. And he did a test and he said, Steve, I hate to tell you this, but you're blind in your right eye. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you waited too long for the optic nerve, and it quit working. So I came back and told all of you about it again. So what'd you do? Had another laying on of hands. Went in and took a test. My optic nerve started working again. Both Dr. Overdenko and Dr. Thompson, who was the optometrist, that never happens. They said the exact same thing. But because of the laying on the hands, now this eye is 20/30. I can sit there and I can read, but let there be peace on earth, okay? Pastor Steve Dygert website, oslc-lcmc.com. That's not bad for an eye that's blind, is it? See what I'm getting at? It's the power of the healing grace of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the first thing we have up there? Grace alone. Folks, when we do the laying on of hands today, I know some of you sit back. Okay, don't. Come up here. Let that power work through you. We don't know what's going to happen. One of the things that we don't have happen here, which I've seen in other churches, somebody touches you, you fall down. I think sometimes that that's an affected thing because you're supposed to act that way. Although I have seen it once at Timothy Luther or at Trinity Lutheran Church in Omaha. And in all places, it's in the ghetto, the pastor. This is where I got this service. And for those of us who came out of the Missouri Synod, this is a Missouri Synod service. It was published in 1986. How many of you knew that this was part of the Lutheran Church too? You know, I say this every time. It's part of the Roman Catholic Church. But how many times were you folks who grew up Catholic ever saw a service like this? Probably not. But, you know, the one that I do occasionally, too, is out of a monastery in France, the Tanis. Okay? So, the thing is that we all, this is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So you go back in and you read Galatians, and the fruits of the Spirit include healing. Okay? So, this is something I think that is very important. Now, let me share this with you. This was a miracle. When we were at the STS convention in Chicago, anyway, we're all in clerical, so you can't tell who's Roman Catholic and who's Lutheran. And you can't even tell by the people in the long robes, monk's robes, because there is an Augustinian and a Dominican Lutheran order. How many of you knew that? I didn't until I went to that. So anyway, I sat down, the guy, an older gentleman, sits down. He says, can I have lunch with you? I said, sure, sit down. So we got to talking. He was the head of the theology department at the seminary. He's the one that taught all theology to the undergrads, or to the graduate students. And I can't think of his name. It's Father Doctor. Anyway, I've slept since then. Anyway, we got talking. And I said, well, Father, I said, I've noticed that you don't keep compline, which is the 9 o'clock service. He said, no, we used to, but he said, none of the seminarians go to it. Okay, I can understand that. But I said, you know, we keep compline while we're here. Why don't you come to church with us tonight? And he says, I would enjoy that. So he did. He came, sat next to me. Now, the service is called the Service of Light. It's in the green hymnal. It's a beautiful service. And stop and think, when you got 350 pastors who can sing, it's a real beautiful service. So anyway, the father is sitting there. He's trying to sing. And I said, Father, I said, you're not doing very good. He said, we don't do this anymore. But he said, this came right out of the Catholic service. And I said, that's exactly what it is. And he says, whoa. So he said, I'm just going to sit back. Anyway, we got done that night. And he said, this was one of the most moving experiences I've ever had on this campus. And this is the head of the theology department. So he says to me, do you mind if I bring some students to this tomorrow night? And I said, well, absolutely not. I mean, of course, we don't want you in it. Sure. So we did. He brought 60 students that night. He just told everybody, you're required to go to the Lutheran service. So we did the service of light. Next day at lunch, I sat down with him. Here comes all the students, and they made a big square and sat down with us. Now, our dean, not the dean, but the head of the STS is Paddy Rooney. And he's a very good Irishman. Started off as a Roman Catholic priest. Okay, became Lutheran. Okay, he's been a bishop in the ELCA. Anyway, he came over and sat down with us. He said, what are you doing? I said, these are all the guys that came compline with us last night. We're going to talk. So we did. These guys were flabbergasted that we could sit and do the same service that they do and have it sound like this. Well, the pastor that I was sitting next to, the father, and he said, it shows the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer and worship. Now stop and think about that. Prayer and worship. Isn't that what we're doing today? And what are we doing? Remember, what does the color red stand for? the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I left the white up here because this one, now look at that, red and white. Okay? God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Many times we do this kind of things, and I don't care whether you're Roman Catholic, if you're Episcopalian, if you're Lutheran, how many even know why we have colors? And I'm looking at you folks that grew up in the church. Probably not. Okay? Why do we put a color in there? Because it's what the sheet says back there that's hanging on the door. Right? Okay. It's because we're addressing Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit today. The Trinity. So we're invoking the Trinity to try and at least speak to us and work through us today. Is that important? Yes. And the peace that this brings to us is really important. And as Philippians say, may the peace that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.